Don't touch that dial. Stay a while and listen to the great things that God is doing in the world today.
What if the biggest problem in America is not crime or drugs or poverty or economics or unemployment or abortion or terrorism? What if the biggest problem in America is simply the lack of goodness? Jesus went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. He had no favorites when it came to healing. He went after everybody's sickness.
Now, here's your host, Jim Rohn.
Thank you for tuning in to Global Air Force. Today on our program, we have a guest speaker, teacher, by the name of Graham Cook. Graham has originally come from Southampton, England, but now he is in the United States. He is a noted conference speaker, teacher, and author. He's authored many books. He's the founder of Brilliant Book House. So, here is our guest today, Graham Cook. We love you, Graham.
Thank you. You know, there's a world of difference between that which is true and that which is the truth. Scripture says that the truth is a person. Jesus said, I am the truth. Now, it may be true that a person who's a Christian can have a bad temper. That may be true. But the truth is, they are a new creation in Christ. So when the Bible talks about speaking the truth in love, what it means is you speak the truth of who Jesus is for that person. It doesn't mean that you can slag them off and tell them everything you don't like about them and then say, oh, I'm speaking that in love, brother. You may as well just put a placard up that says, please excuse me, I'm having a carnal moment. The spirit of stupid has just hit me. And I've just said something really inane and dumb. Speaking the truth in love is talking to them about this is who Jesus is for you. This is how God sees you. This is who you are in the beloved. That is speaking the truth in love. Anything else is just crass and immature. And I say that in the nicest possible way. The manifestation of the Spirit are given for the common good. Therefore, goodness is at the heart of all revelatory giftings. Everything we do is to pursue love and the desire to edify the body of Christ. You cannot escape the culture of the new covenant. John the Baptist was the last of the Old Testament prophets. Why? Because Jesus was the first of a New Testament breed of prophet. He came as prophet, priest, and king. And so here you have, in the relationship between John the Baptist and Jesus, you had a transitional period. You had a handing over of the prophetic baton from the Old Testament style to the New Testament style. That's why John said, I must decrease. That is, I and all I know in terms of that prophetic succession from Moses through to John, that must decrease, he must increase. And so Jesus models in himself a completely different way of doing the prophetic. The last act of an Old Testament prophet was to prepare the way for an entirely different kind of prophetic anointing and prophetic ministry. Jesus came saying, you have heard it said, but now I say to you. And he's modeling a whole different type of prophetic language. He's modeling a whole different prophetic heart. He is modeling an entirely new type of relationship. When the Bible says that we are a new creation, what it really means is we are a race of people that have never been seen in the earth before. Jesus was the first Adam was a life-giving soul. The second Adam was a quickening spirit. Jesus did not come to restore us back to the Garden of Eden. He came to release us into heaven and heaven into us. So all throughout the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, the Spirit of God came upon people. But in the New Covenant, an entirely different thing happens. And now, instead of God living with us and coming upon us, now He lives on the inside of us. We are a new creation. This kind of person had never been seen in the history of the world. You're a whole different race of being. And you represent heaven and you model the kingdom. It's interesting, you know, with Jesus' ministry caused controversy and consternation because he was pushing a culture out of its Old Testament thinking into a new relationship with God. In the Old Testament, you had a prophetic concentration of the gift in a small number of people. But in the New Testament, you have a prophetic distribution of the gift amongst everybody. We can all prophesy. That doesn't mean we're all prophets. But we can all hear the voice of God for ourselves. And New Testament prophets are mostly prophets of confirmation. How many times have you heard a prophetic word given to you and you think to yourself, I knew that. I prophesied over a guy in Sydney, Australia, and he looked at me and he said, tell me something I don't know. You plank. Why has God brought somebody 12,000 miles to tell you something you already know? I said, the reason I'm coming, confirming to you what you already know, because you're not doing something about it, and I'm here to say it's time you got off your tush and did something. It's time to move into what God has been telling you for months now. We're funny people, eh? Now, sometimes we know what the Lord wants to do, but there is a plague in the Western church. It's called passivity. And passivity is the number one sign of a religious spirit. We know what God wants to do. We know what the promises are over our life, but we don't do anything about them. It's almost like we're expecting a sign to come from heaven. We want God to, you know, do some fireworks in the sky or something. And you can tell the number of Christians putting out fleeces that are completely unnecessary. Bad Christian. Bad. We've got promises in our life so that we can have a life now. We are brilliant at procrastinating. I know, it's brilliant, eh? We've all been given a relationship with God that allows us to hear His voice and become a representative of the Father's heart through verbal communication. Whether it's witness, worship, prayer, testimony, preaching, teaching, sharing, or prophecy. We've all got the Father's heart on the inside of us. And that means that the way in which you view yourself should be incompatible with how the Father sees you. And the way that you see other people should be compatible with the Father's heart. Yeah? So the Father's heart over your life gives you an anointing to see people the way that God sees them and to speak to that reality. Our goal is to abide in Christ and to be made in His image. Now, the New Testament is much more relational as we celebrate being a new creation, learning how to abide in the love of God. So the prophetic language and terminology is very different in the New Testament, because we're now representing the person of Jesus who is unchanging and constant. And He's speaking in grace and mercy and love and compassion. Prophetic speech is required to follow the pattern of normal speech that should be anointed and spiritual. So Colossians 4:6 says, "Let your speech always be with grace, as though it was seasoned with salt, so that you will know how to respond to every person." Ephesians 4:29, "Let no unwholesome word come out of your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification, according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace." And grace is the empowering presence of God. It will give grace to those who hear. Colossians 3:8, "Now you also put aside anger and wrath and malice and slander and abusive speech from your mouth." Romans 14:19, "Pursue the things that make for peace and the building up of one another." Philippians 4:8, "Whatever is pure and lovely and of good repute, if there's any excellence, anything worthy of praise, dwell on that." There is no room for negativity in the body of Christ. In fact, we need to kill negativity stone dead. In the New Testament, in prophecy, we help people to find the grace they need in order to receive the presence of God, in order to be renewed in the spirit of their thinking. People need to be exposed to God's goodness and kindness. Because Romans 2:4 says that it's the goodness and the kindness of God that leads people to repentance. So the goal is always freedom in Christ and empowering people to be made in His image. The enemy is the king of condemnation. He adores judgment. He is so malicious and malignant in his own personality. He loves to make people feel hopeless, helpless, useless, powerless. He is the sponsor of destruction. And unless mercy triumphs over judgment, people will not hear the true gospel message. Unless mercy triumphs over judgment, we will never know the fullness of God's presence. What if between Calvary, which was judgment once and for all on sin in this life, what were the last three words? In this life. Between Calvary and the day of judgment, there is no place for judgment in this world. There will be a day of judgment, but that'll be after the world has been rolled up. That'll be after Jesus comes back. That'll be at the end of everything. When God makes a new heaven and a new earth, and everything will be new, there will be a reckoning. But between Calvary, which is absolute judgment on Christ, once and for all for sin, between that day of judgment on Jesus and the day of judgment at the end of the age when the books will be opened, there is no place for judgment in this life. We are living in a prophetic season of grace. And grace is the empowering presence of God. Let me read you again 2 Corinthians 5. That God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. Why? Because he put them all on Jesus. Our problem as Christians is we are schizophrenic about the gospel. We're in two minds. We're double-minded. We don't believe that this is absolutely brilliant, the most awesome good news ever. We don't believe that. We have a very humanistic way of looking at the gospel. Because we think in all of it that somehow God is like us. We're making God in our image. He doesn't want to be like you. He wants you to be like him. God is reconciling the world to himself. The whole earth is reconciled to God. Does that mean they are redeemed? No, it doesn't. But they are reconciled. What does that mean? It means that from God's side, he has no objections to anybody coming to him. There are no barriers, no obstacles. He is not willing that anyone should perish. The way is open. And what our role in the earth, we are ambassadors of Christ. What does that mean? It means that the church is a redeemed community in a reconciled society. Our job is to upgrade people from reconciliation to redemption. That's our role in the earth. So when we give the gospel to people, we are not in two minds. We absolutely know what the gospel message is. Right now you've been reconciled. There's no obstacle between you and God. And to prove it, let's get your body healed. Let's give you a taste of the kingdom. Let's get you to taste and see that the Lord is good. I have favor with God because I am redeemed. And because I'm standing next to you, you can come under the umbrella of my favor. I walk around my neighborhood. And my question is, Lord, how many homes in this subdivision actually belong to you? I think out of like 300, maybe there's 280-something that don't belong to the Lord. My question is, okay, so there's a lot of favor over this neighborhood that's not being claimed. Can I borrow it? There's favor over my neighborhood because I live there. I'm a blood-bought child of God. I live there. That neighborhood is mine. It belongs to me. Why? Because I am serving the one true, great, original, territorial spirit. His name is Jesus. God is a territorial spirit. If you don't believe me, read Joshua chapters 15 to 21. God apportioning Israel's land and inheritance. What's that? That's a territorial spirit in action. This bit of territory from this mountain range to the sea, that's all yours. That's a territorial spirit talking. You and I serve a God who is focused and single-minded in the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. From now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh. God is in Christ reconciling the world to himself. It's a little like getting a credit card through the mail. You've got all the benefits of that card, but you can't access them until you get in touch with the principal. There is favor all over your neighborhood. Your role as an ambassador is to let people know what heaven is like. Let people know what the kingdom is like. The glad tidings of great joy. We treat pre-Christians the same way we treat Christians. They have the potential to become so much more and infinitely better. And we are in their life to assist them in that process. from kindness, from goodness. We overcome evil with good. So why is evil flourishing in this country? Why are we building more prisons than anything else? Why are we in such a mess? I honestly think it's because the church is not doing her job properly. We are too busy railing against sin, which is not our job. Our job is the good news of the gospel. We're so busy railing against sin that there's no power in the church to do the good that Jesus wants to do. What if the biggest problem in America is not crime or drugs or poverty or economics or unemployment or abortion or terrorism? What if the biggest problem in America is simply the lack of goodness? Jesus went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. He had no favorites when it came to healing. He went after everybody's sickness. We're building people up into the presence of God. We're a new creation in Christ, so we must speak from that place of identity in ourselves. That's why when you hear someone prophesying judgment, you're listening to someone who is stuck somewhere in the past in terms of their own relationship with God. You're watching somebody manifest in public the fact that they don't actually know Jesus as well as they should. Whenever you open your mouth, your identity is showing. And the Holy Spirit is always seeking to make your identity in Christ visible. We recognize no one according to the flesh. That means that our way of perceiving people must come into alignment with God's vision of them. Prophetic people see beyond the natural into the supernatural. We see beyond circumstances to the outcome. And we're here to release the outcome. With this guy, I walked up to him. He looked up. He saw me coming. He flinched. And I realized, this boy's been prophesied to before. So I put my arm around him and I just said, I have a word for you from the Lord. And every bone in his body went tense. And I said this, the Lord says, he is pouring out upon you a grace so powerful, so incredible, it will turn you into another man. The Lord says, I have seen the secret longing of your heart to be clean. And he says to you, beloved son, yes. Yes and amen. Yes and amen. Yes and amen. His whole body went limp. He grabbed hold of me and he wept for like 10 minutes. I just held him. I just kept saying, the Lord said, of course you can be clean. Of course you can be clean. Of course you can be clean. And not only that, but you're going to be this, and you're going to be this, and you're going to be this, and you're going to be my choice gift to people. What am I doing? I'm just rebuilding his identity because he's lost it. The guy thinks he's a sinner. Forget that. He's a saint. He's lost track of his identity. You don't become a new person by changing your behavior. You discover the person you already are in Christ and you behave accordingly. Do you want me to say that in English? You don't become a new person by changing your behavior. You discover the person you already are in Christ and you behave accordingly. God is not trying to point out your sin. He's dealt with sin. He's establishing your righteousness. Jesus is made unto us wisdom, redemption, righteousness, and sanctification. God is dealing with your righteousness. Why? Because the antidote to that sin habit is righteousness. Why would God want to deal with a negative in you when he could deal with a positive? Why would he want to talk about what you're not when he could talk to you about who you are? That's what the prophetic does. It tells you who you are, because most of us sin because we've lost the sense of ourselves. We think we're this and we're not. My little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world. If a person sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation. That means that the wrath of God is appeased. That Christ makes us. He makes atonement for us, and he always is our atonement. He makes us one with the Father. He puts us in a place of favor with God. The prophetic must always restore you to favor. That's what edifying means. It builds you up to the point where you believe that favor has taken hold again. That your identity is restored in Christ and you have a sense of yourself. The Father put me in Christ so that he could be favorably disposed towards me.
Lay your burden down. Lay your burden down. Take your weary life, your heavy load, and lay your burden down. Lay your burden. Get your feet on solid ground. Take your failures to the foot of the cross and lay your burden down. Lay your burden down. You've been trying.
Thank you for tuning into Global Air Force. I'm Jim Rohn. I'd like to hear from you. You can write to me at Jim Rohn, Post Office Box 234, Duquesne, Pennsylvania, 15110. Once again, our mailing address is Post Office Box 234, Duquesne, Pennsylvania, 15110. That's all for today. God bless.
Thank you for flying with Global Air Force.